So, as you know, we're in, we're 1 week done now with our 21 days of prayer, this prayer focus to start off the year that we're doing along with the other converged churches around the nation. And this morning I'm going to have us repeat an exercise we did during a morning service last January that I thought ended up being a really nice thing. You see this mostly blank bulletin board up here to my right. We're going to fill it up today. This is our 21 days of prayer bulletin board. It's been divided into two sections. One has a heading that says prayer requests, and the other side has a heading that says praise reports. At the end of our sermon time today, we're going to have a time of silent prayer together, and not only will I be asking you to pray to God during that during those minutes, but I'll also be asking you to do something with the piece of paper that you should see nearby you on the chairs there. Later on, we're going to rip those sheets of paper into two, and then on one of the two slips of paper, you'll have two at that point, I will ask you to write down something that you want to ask God for today, a prayer request. On the second piece of paper, then, I'll have you write thanks to God, either for a prayer that he has answered recently, and you can explain that a little bit on your sheet, or you can just write down anything that you want to say thanks to God for today, praise him for. At some point during our prayer time, then, you will come forward, if you're willing, and tack those two slips of paper up on the board in the appropriate section. And then other people, when they come into the sanctuary during the remaining 14 of our 21 days of prayer, can read your prayer requests and join you in prayer over that thing. Or they can rejoice with you in the answered prayer you received or the thing you're thankful to God for. So I'll have some additional instructions on that when we get to the end of our sermon. But for now, you can just leave the slips of paper to the side. Normally we have praise and blessing on third Sundays, but I decided to do this project instead to kind of keep us going on this prayer emphasis here today. So that is coming up. Before then, some thoughts on prayer. I have found prayer in my life to be both a frustrating and a wonderful thing. Prayer frustrates me on occasion because, you know, I would really like to interact with God like I interact with human beings. I would love to be able to see him. Sure would be great to hear, you know, just have a conversation with an audible voice if I knew for sure that it was God's, right? Now, I can imagine some reasons why the creator of the universe doesn't work like that, but that doesn't stop me from desiring it. And I, like all of you too, I'm sure, would love to see more direct and quick answers to my prayers. We've often said here that God will not work like a vending machine, where we put in our prayer request quarter and immediately out pops the answered prayer candy bar. He is not a prayer vending machine. The universe is much too complicated of a place for God to work like that. But again, that doesn't stop me from wishing that he worked like that. And, you know, so I get frustrated at times. I have, however, also found prayer to be a wonderful thing. And let me tell you about some of the aspects of prayer that I've found to be wonderful as I reflect on my personal experience with prayer over the years. First off, prayer resets me onto right paths and right thinking. Prayer resets me onto right paths and right thinking. Often, as I bring subjects up to God that I'm concerned about, and then I sit and listen for him to speak, my mind is led into a new way of thinking about that subject. It might just be a reminder of biblical principles that apply to that situation, and that helps me form a game plan then on how to approach the matter. Or maybe even there will be specific action steps for that situation that come into my mind, steps that also square with biblical teaching. In any case, I often find myself going into prayer feeling conflicted and coming out on the other side feeling peace. And peace, you know, is one of those fruits that comes from being connected with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. So this is one way in which I have found prayer to be wonderful, really wonderful. It's been rare for me, personally speaking, to experience a miraculous answer to one of my prayers or to hear God's voice speak inside my head or something like that. Although I do believe that I've had both of those experiences, actually. It seems to me that God most often works in quiet and subtle ways, but on a rare occasion, when the timing is right, he comes more dramatically. The times that God did interact with my prayers in those more dramatic ways were incredible moments that I'm so thankful for. Although that's also part of what makes me frustrated now, because I want him to do it again, right? The first experience was so great. But certainly the possibility that God might work in these ways when we pray is motivation to keep praying. Third thing that I've greatly valued in my life about prayer, there are often times when I feel a connection to God that I don't when I'm not praying. And I think it's like that analogy that Jesus uses of the branch attaching to the vine. My heart will feel warm in my chest sometimes, or you know, something like that anyway. Again, there's a peace and a presence. I don't have that feeling every time I pray, but fairly often in my experience, and it is a good feeling. That's an exciting feeling. Next one is related to that one. The Bible teaches that God is with us. He's even within us, and that he knows our thoughts. I love having God to talk to in my head. Prayer for me really has been the practice of walking through life with a loving and powerful companion who I can share my thoughts and feelings with. What an amazing blessing that is. Lastly, I find prayer to be healthy for me in a couple of other ways too. As many people have discovered, whether they're Christian believers or not, just taking a moment to quiet things down and reflect and breathe is healthy for us, and prayer provides that opportunity. Also, since the biblical teaching on prayer directs us to take time as part of each prayer to express thankfulness to God, I believe that prayer keeps me in the practice of being grateful and remembering the good things in my life, and that also is a healthy thing for me. So yeah, prayer can be frustrating and even feel strange sometimes, you know, sitting there talking to someone who's not visibly present in the room with you. And yet, listen again to the benefits of prayer, at least as I've experienced them. Prayer resets me onto right paths and right thinking. I often go into prayer feeling conflicted and come out on the other side feeling peace. Though it's rare, prayer opens up the possibility that God will answer in a miraculous way or speak to us in a special way. That's something worth seeking after. Prayer often gives me a connection to God that I feel in my body and spirit. Prayer has been, for me, the practice of walking through life with a loving and powerful companion who I can share my thoughts and feelings with. And finally, I found prayer to be healthy for me, the practice of taking some time daily to quiet things down, reflect, and breathe is healthy, and prayer keeps me in the practice of being grateful, another healthy practice. And those benefits keep me praying despite my frustrations. And I really need to, of course, also point out that God asks us in Scripture to pray to him. The Bible indicates that God's good purposes will advance more fully in this world and come against the darkness more forcefully the more we pray. He asks us to be involved in spiritual battle through prayer. So these are all great reasons to pray. So there are some thoughts of mine on prayer for you. I want us to hear this morning also from another person. I've preached a lot of sermons on prayer for you, to you over the years, and I got to the point last January of feeling that maybe you needed to hear some other perspectives. So last year on the day that we did this prayer board exercise that we're going to do again today, I preached half of a sermon and then showed you a video of Pastor Matt Chandler speaking on prayer. I'm headed in that direction again today, although rather than going back to Matt Chandler, I have a different pastor on tap this morning. You know that I like us from time to time to hear from pastors from around the nation who have, I guess, made a name for themselves for being good preachers. And we've heard from quite a few over my years here. Today, we're going to listen to a pastor named Alistair Begg. So Alistair Begg is he is the senior pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio, a position he has been in since 1983, which is impressive in its own right. He also teaches on a radio program called Truth for Life. He received an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree from Westminster Theological Seminary and an honorary doctorate from Cedarville University. He does have an actual degree as well, as opposed to an honorary one from the London School of Theology. We're going to listen to a portion of a sermon he preached 3 years ago on prayer. I need to set it up for you just a bit. So the central text that Pastor Begg is preaching from in this sermon is Ephesians 6:18. I want to put that on the screen for you, and we're going to say it together. So here it is, Ephesians 6:18. Would you say it with me? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. How are we to pray in the beginning of the verse there? In the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. And how often should we be praying in the Spirit? On all occasions, it says. And what kinds of prayers and requests should we offer to God? All kinds. Let's say that full verse together once again. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This is Ephesians 6:18. Pastor Begg delivers 3 points on prayer in his sermon. We're going to skip the first one, but I'll just tell you that in his first point, he discusses the mysterious nature of prayer, somewhat similar to my expressions of how prayer can be both wonderful and frustrating. And he brings up the question of, you know, why the supreme power of the universe would ask us to pray. You know, how can we actually affect him? That kind of thing. There is a mysterious aspect to prayer, no doubt. You're only going to hear a sentence or two from him on that. But then we will listen to his final 2 points, which basically could be titled, they weren't, but they could have been titled, The Importance and Privilege of Prayer. The Importance and Privilege of Prayer. And then one last comment before we start the video. Alistair Begg is not as dynamic as some of the pastors we've watched on the screen here in the past. He takes a more studious approach. But he has a number of very good thoughts to offer here. And he has a Scottish accent, which I'm sure you will all enjoy. So let's listen in now to Pastor Alistair Begg.
I don't know all the answers to all my questions about prayer. And I never will until I'm finally in the position where prayer is no longer necessary. On that day, we will know, even as we are known. So because something is a mystery, it doesn't mean that it is to be neglected. In actual fact, although much of this is beyond our comprehension, prayer is also an absolute necessity. So it's a mystery. Secondly, it's a necessity. The writer of Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And our prayers are an exercise, are an expression of our faith. You see, when you hear people talking about faith in generic terms, or when you hear people talking about prayer, you have to hear that in light of what the Bible says, that there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So that God the Father hears the prayers offered in Jesus' name through the merits of Christ, quickened and enabled by the Holy Spirit. And one of the great expressions of the fact that a man or a woman is now in Christ is is that they actually pray. They both listen to God in His Word and they talk to God in prayer. They may have specific times. They should. We should. They may, in a very ongoing way throughout the day, acknowledge His presence and so on. It is a remarkable thing, is it not? I've told you in the past, I know I have a vivid imagination, but I sometimes imagine what it would be like to have keys to have access to Buckingham Palace. Or not just to have a card that got me in, but maybe to have Queen Elizabeth's mobile number so that I could call her. Queen Elizabeth, Your Majesty, may I ask your opinion on this? Do you have a comment on that? How amazing would it be if as she got ready to hang up, she said, Alistair, call me anytime. Wow, if I could do that, I'd come in here and I could impress you, not just imagining it, but telling you it's actually happened. Look here. You would say, what a person of influence. How amazing to make such contact with such power and such might. Loved ones, that pales before what we're saying here. That pales in comparison. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Or in the words of another hymn writer, yet all who know the worth of prayer will long to be more often there. You see how important it is that we don't allow the mystery to tie us up. Well, how much do you need to know to go to your Father and ask Him for something? That He is your Father, that He loves you, that He hears you, and He's happy to provide for you. That's all you need to know. In the same way, in a remarkable way, the necessity of prayer removes it from the realm of luxury. It is a privilege, but it is not a luxury. One of the ways to handle these kind of questions, I find, is to ask myself of a certain area, how does this function in the life of Christ? Would it be an overstatement for us to say that Jesus understood the necessity of prayer? That Jesus believed that prayer was a necessity. You see, it makes perfect sense because there is every other aspect of the Christian life depends upon prayer. That's why when we've done these pieces of the armor, we've been keeping in mind the phrase from the hymn again, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. So that every dimension of our lives is dependent upon our prayers. It's a necessity. Well, you can do your own study. I'll just get you started. But I'm suggesting to you that Jesus understood perfectly prayer to be a necessity. Beginning of Mark's Gospel, Mark 1, and we read, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. Wow. Jesus got up early in the morning to pray. Didn't He know what His Father was planning to do? Yes. John 17, in His high priestly prayer, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and He said, Father, Holy Father, keep them in Your name, righteous Father, even though the world doesn't know them, doesn't know You, I know You. Amazingly, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He withdrew from the disciples about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from me. Tell me that You're not there in the realm of both mystery and necessity. Oh, yes, You are. The writer to the Hebrews summarizes it perfectly for us. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. Surely, it cannot be that prayer was a necessity for Jesus and simply an unexplored activity for me. A necessity for Christ and an option for me. Can it be? The third word and the final word is the word activity. Activity. There is something that is taking place here. But we need to end by focusing on the how of our praying. And we have something of that in this little phrase, in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, instead of viewing this as a certain way to pray, as one option amongst many, I think we would be better to think of it as the only way to pray. Not as a kind of way to pray, but as the only way to pray. You remember in John chapter 4 where Jesus is talking with the lady at the well. And in the course of their dialogue, the issue is raised about Gerizim and Jerusalem as a place of public worship. And remember, Jesus says, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? What he is saying is this, that only those who receive the Holy Spirit can worship God at all. It is only in the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, that both worship and prayer as a constituent part of worship then takes place. If you add to that what Paul says concerning our union with Christ in Romans chapter 8, in a wonderful, helpful chapter in this regard, I think you will begin to follow along with me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death, to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. It cannot, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Now, what Paul is teaching there is that our adoption into God's family, and he uses this phraseology down there in what, verse 15, you didn't receive the spirit of slavery, you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is what happens to us in Christ. So that we are not trying to engage with a deity that is up and out and beyond and who knows where. But we are actually in our very being saying, Father, you are my Father. I can call upon you today because you have adopted me as your child. You have placed your Spirit within me. And it is because you have come and done this for me and made me your own that I may approach you in this way. I think about it in relationship to your own children. You have two or three children, perhaps, and you have a big party, and 40 children are running all around the yard. They may come up to you and say, may I have this, may I have that? And you may accede to all of the requests. But if you only have three children, only three of them can address you in this intimacy. Only three of them really know who you are, really know the extent of your love, really know that you love to give things to them, that is part of your fatherly prerogative. What are we saying? We're saying this, that our adoption into the family of God is the foundation of our prayer and is the basis for our asking. It's one of the reasons that unbelievers, although they may call out to God, they never call him Father. You'll never hear an unbeliever referring to God as Father, except perhaps in a perfunctory working of the Lord's Prayer. But in terms of personal discourse, no. It is unique to the believer. My old boss, in a wonderful sentence, sounds out an amazing challenge. He says, as my pulse is one of the primary indications of my physical life, so my praying is one of the principal proofs of my spiritual life. As my pulse is one of the primary, is one of the key indications of my physical life, so my praying is the proof, one of the primary proofs of my spiritual life. What a challenge. Our ultimate position as Christians is tested by the character of our prayer life. One final observation. Let's tie this in with praying in Jesus' name. It's one of the other questions that always emerges. Why is it that we say in Jesus' name? Why is it that we pray for Jesus' sake? What are we actually doing when we say that? Is it just a sort of little formula, a nice way to close things off? Is it a sort of magical code that you tack it onto the end of your prayers, and if you say it, then you're pretty well guaranteed success? Well, some, I think, may feel so, but no, it's not at all. To pray in Jesus' name is to be in the Spirit. To be in the Spirit is to be trusting the Lord Jesus' saving work as the sole ground of our access to God. Let's come back to Buckingham Palace again. So I phone up Buckingham Palace tomorrow, and I say, hello, I'd like to speak to Her Majesty. And someone says, well, who are you? So I'm Alistair Begg. He said, never heard of you. Don't call in here again. Okay. But what if I could get to Meghan, to Harry's wife? Maybe I could get her to speak to the Queen on my behalf, so when I phoned up, she would know. I can't phone up just in my own name. And I can't go to God just in my own name. I couldn't go to God and plead my own merits. I couldn't go to God and argue on the basis of how well I've been doing or how deep my need is. No, I must go to God in Jesus' name, trusting solely in Him. We come to Him with our burdens, with our fears, with our failures, with our expectations, with our hopes and our dreams. And we come to Him and say, Father, by the Holy Spirit, in the name of your dearly beloved Son, I ask you, would you give me good gifts? Would you pour out your Spirit upon me? Would you pour out your Spirit upon our church? Would you honor the prayer of the followers of Jesus as we make it our own? Lord, teach us to pray. Father, we bow down before you. And we acknowledge the mystery. We want to understand the necessity. We want to engage in the activity. And we desperately need the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And for this we ask you, in the awareness that you've already promised, that you're glad to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask you. So come, Lord, we beseech you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, strong encouragement to pray from Pastor Begg there, excuse me. Prayer isn't an optional part of being a Christ follower, he said. It's a vital aspect to it, just like our heart beating is a vital part of our physical life. Prayer is perhaps the number one expression of our faith in God, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. What a remarkable privilege prayer is. To have an open invitation to speak to the Creator God, a far more powerful and influential being than queen or king or president. And Pastor Begg also pointed out that not only are we invited to speak our thoughts and fears and desires to God the King, but we're invited to approach Him with intimacy, referring to Him as our loving Father, for we have been adopted as His sons and daughters. This made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus for us. What a privilege this is. Add into all of those things the benefits that come into our lives from prayer that I mentioned at the beginning of our sermon time today, and I would say that we really ought to pray. Right, Calvary? So don't allow the strange and frustrating and mysterious things about prayer to stop you from praying. Keep on praying and do it all the time. Once again, how are we to pray? Ephesians 6:18, we're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests.